I want to welcome you. I'm excited about today. I'm excited every Sunday, so it's not just because it's Father's Day. God has blessed me and my wife with three children. They are adults, and I have two grandchildren. And I make the joke that they are great-grandchildren. Because I've done the math. You know what? I've done the math, and they're going to have to be great right now. I am so happy that you're here. What do we have? Welcome, Happy Father's Day. If you're here for the first time, again, welcome, welcome, welcome. We do have a card for you to fill out. When the ushers go by, please put that card in, because we would like to make the connection with you. So you may be visiting for the first time. We'd love to have you come back and be a part of our fellowship here. We have a good time. We love the Lord Jesus. We want to follow Him as disciples. And let's go to the slide. There we go. Thanks for being a dad. We can look up to you. Wow, big responsibility, isn't it? Yes. Right, dads? Amen? Yes, yes. Let's look at one child's definition of Father's Day. Oh, the title of the message, I'm sorry, is Will the Real Father Please Step Up? How many are old enough to remember the show What's My Line? Yeah, three individuals, and they would say, my name is such and such, and then describe their occupation, but all three would do it, and you had to decide who's telling the truth and who's not. And so they would say, will the real so-and-so please stand up? Well, my sermon is, will the real father please step up? Look at one child's definition of Father's Day. One little boy's definition of Father's Day went like this. Well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend so much. Well, we fathers can concede that. Someone said a father is someone who carries pictures where his money used to be. And the phone company tells us that calls on Father's Day are not as high in number as calls on Mother's Day, and most of them are collect. Folks, I know. It dawned on me, collect phone calls. Is there any such thing, maybe outside of the United States? Help me here. Yeah, I know. For those who know what a collect phone call is, the joke's on me. Well, introduction. Within many churches across our country, the usual pattern is to praise moms and motherhood on Mother's Day and to beat up or criticize fathers on Father's Day. This morning, I'd like to do things a bit different, break from the norm, if you would. First, I'm going to speak about the unfortunate realization that the increase of fatherhood failure is threatening our nation. I really believe that. That's the bad news. But then we have good news, too. Second, some lessons that the Lord Jesus has taught me about fatherhood. I'm actually going to praise and encourage the dads who have stepped up and understand that being a Christian father is one of the highest callings any man can ever achieve in this life. And then finally, on behalf of our church, I'm going to recognize the fathers in our congregation. I'll do that at the end. Let me start with the bad news. Roman numeral 1. I mean, we have bad news because then it lets us know how good the good news is. The increase of fatherhood failure is threatening our nation. I mean, absentee fathers, we know that in the Caucasian community, Latino community, black community, the absence of fathers is threatening our nation. And I want to stop right here because I know who I'm talking to. Some of you ladies out there, as it was referred to, are doing double duty. I am not here to shame you, okay? I don't want you to leave saying, well, if my husband was there. I get it. And praise God you're doing double duty. And if we men in the church can step up and help you, the church needs to help you, okay? So I am not here to make you feel bad. Dads, I'm not dumping on you this morning, not calling you up short or anything like that. Because bottom line, when we look at the perfection of who God is, we all, what? Come up short. So this is not the time to criticize. This is the time to encourage you and support you. Notice here, the increase of fatherhood failure is threatening our nation. There is a father absence crisis in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, more than one in four, live without a father in the home. Consequently, there is a father factor in nearly all social ills facing America today, like 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. And last, bad news, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. This is not pointing the finger and shaming the women who are called to do double duty. Did everyone hear me say that? I've repeated that a number of times, okay? Not trying to shame you, make you feel bad. God, His grace is sufficient. Those in the Christian community want to support you. So we want to get beyond shame. What lessons has the Lord Jesus taught you or myself about fatherhood? I just want to share for a few minutes and consider your role, my role as a father, your dad's role, the men you have known who were fathers and granddads, and sermons you may have heard preached on this subject before. What key point, what definitive story, what lessons loom large in your mind? Well, in my case, as I consider that question, two ideas come to mind. Number one, forgive. I'm sorry. Forgive your father. Okay. Many times at funerals of older men, I have learned that one or more of the adult children are carrying grievances against, I'm sorry, folks. I've gone over this a number of times. Okay. Okay. I've learned that one or more of adult children are carrying grievances against the deceased for something he did ages ago or should have done and failed. In such times, I try to work into my sermon a bit of counseling. Forgive your father. I tell them he's human. He made mistakes, yes, but who among us has not sinned? And we will want our children to forgive us, won't we? On the cross, the Lord Jesus looked at his executioners surrounding him. He said, "Father, forgive them." He prayed, "They do not know what they are doing." In this case, we say, "Forgive your father. He may or may not have known what he was doing. Forgive him anyway." Maybe some of you here are in that situation. You don't have to put up your hand. Here are some reasons to forgive your dad. He's human. That means he is prone to failure and a great deal short of perfect. According to Romans 3:23, we all have come short of the glory of God. And Psalm 103:14 reminds us that God is well aware. He himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. How many remember that song, "Dust in the Wind"? Anyone? Yeah. All we are is dust in the wind. So he's human. Guess what? Dad, you are too. This means two things. You are a lot like your dad insofar as being flawed. And being human, you will require an extra dose of God's grace to be able to forgive him. Thirdly, your father is a product of a fallen world and flawed parents. Right? Yeah, this is a sinful world. We're flawed. It's easy to think of your father as choosing to become an alcoholic, a wife beater, a party animal, whatever, and thus holding him totally responsible. I need to say here, I'm not excusing sin. Everyone hear that?
Yes.
Okay. However, remember that he was a child once too. And God alone knows what to extent he became whatever he was due to his parents' failures, the faults, his schooling he received, did not receive, a sin nature, and other influences. Note, too, that also, Dad, you will eventually want mercy, too. Therefore, you do well to show mercy. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lastly, forgiveness opens the grace channel. And resentment, what does resentment do? Clogs it up and shuts off the daily supply of God's grace that you and I continually need. I'd like to quote Pastor Gary Inrig. He says this, and I quote, "Forgiveness is ultimately an act of the will, not a stirring of the emotions for a Christ follower. It is a choice to obey God and let it go." At this point, you don't forget. You may still remember, but you don't allow the sting to continue in your life. This is an inward choice that produces a declaration given, a promise spoken, "I forgive you. When I speak these words, I declare that the issue between us is dead and buried. I'm saying that I will not rehearse it, review it, renew it. When it comes to my mind, I will take it to the Lord and to the foot of the cross, and not to you." The other thing I wanted to share with you as a possible lesson from Father's Day sermon is this. Things godly men know. We know who I am. The man who does not know who he is will be forever trying to find out and to prove himself a man in unhealthy ways. Dad, you don't have to be an NBA player. Nothing wrong with NBA players, football players. If you like sports, that's great. But there's a spiritual side that kids need to see in their fathers, in their dads. Isn't that true? Yes. The NBA, NFL... And for ladies, you grew up with Barbie. That's not the goal you have to reach. The self-image, your image comes from Christ. If you're in Christ, your image is renewed and changed. So who am I? Who I am? Whose I am? Is he accountable to anyone? Or is he on his own in this world? The man who knows he is the creation of Almighty God and the redeemed of a loving Savior is likely to live a different kind of life if you don't know who you are. What am I here for? Well, I'm here to have a midlife crisis. I'm here to self-destruct. No, I don't want that for anyone. What am I here for? The Father needs to know what his role is in life. Why were you put here on earth? Is it some cruel joke that God has put you here and you're like a puppet and he's pulling our strings and we're just waiting to die? Why has he put me here on earth? It is to find himself, is it? To express himself, fulfill himself? Or is he here for a higher, nobler purpose? And I would say, yes, that's the reason. And where am I going? I love the testimony of careworn Job. In the midst of his pain and suffering, in the darkness of his soul's depression, still his faith was intact. He called out, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another." In the last writing we have from the Apostle Paul, Paul said this, "I know whom I have believed." And am what? Yeah, if you know Christ, are you persuaded? Yeah. Yes. No one should rock our persuasion. They may try to rock our world, but not our confidence, that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. And the Apostle John put it differently. By this we, what? We know that we know him. What arrogance on your part? No, that's not arrogance. That's assurance. When we tell people, "I know who he is, and I know that he knows me," and I've had people say, "Well, who do you think you are?" Fortunately, I do know, because God opened up my eyes and I saw who I am apart from Christ. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We know that we know. What do you know? And what differences had it made in your life? Well, believers, we know that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we have repented of our sins and we admit that apart from Christ, I deserve a destiny, an eternal destiny apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to do something different here. A prayer for fathers. Would all the fathers, dads, future dads, please stand up. Please stand up. I won't keep you up too long. For you young blood, it shouldn't be a problem standing up. I want to pray for the dads here. And even if you're a potential dad, future dad. And let's pray together. Almighty Father, we pray in gratitude for these loving fathers of our church, along with all the loving fathers and grandfathers who are no longer with us, that you have welcomed into your presence. Lord, please enable each father to understand that how much time we spend with our family is more important than how much money we spend on them. That in a difficult time, the best thing we can do is just be there. That our children grow up faster than we realize. Oh my goodness. Father, we need to spend time with them now and cherish every moment. That it's more important to know how to fix a child's broken heart than anything around the house. That what we do as fathers today will be with our children for the rest of their lives. Dear Father, may Scripture help us, each father, to be a better dad. Enable your Holy Spirit to instill in each father the guidance, the tools, the patience, and compassion that we each so desperately need. Father, give these men the strength to live, love, and be loved in return. Give them the faithful support of wife, family, and friends as they care for the physical and spiritual growth of their kids. Give them joy and delight in their children to sustain them through the trials of fatherhood. And most of all, Heavenly Father, give them the wisdom to turn to you for help when they need it most. And everyone, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.